you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 6, 2019. I'm looking at my notes, Marianne.
Okay.
I wrote down, halt, be patient, and women save the day.
Hey, oh, yeah. Diane, come in more often.
Diane,
what's that about? Women save the day.
Yeah, and halt and be patient.
She's got her jaw dropped. She don't know what you're doing.
Hey, Gary, tune in. You and I need to talk after this, but Diane has really educated us on some things we've never heard about or we're challenged to really
think through. She's crossing her arms. This is Diane Buller with us, by the way.
a dear friend, a content contributor, and in fact, we have her here because she's going to read a fantastic story. It's right on the front page of the February edition of the Prime Life Times.
Oh, yeah.
You know that paper that's informative, engaging, and positive, the February edition, out in over 200 area locations. I think Richard Berkey himself added like 14 or 16. Williamsburg, Indiana, Attica, Indiana.
West Lebanon,
Indiana, and then a host of other places he dropped them off. So
very
we'll
exciting.
Be talking about the Prime Life Times paper on this, the Wednesday edition, where we do the Prime Life Times in review. But we're kidding a little with Diane, but truly it's been kind of a fun testimony time we're sharing before we producing this morning's program, and we were talking about being patient, one of those life lessons that we have to learn over and over and over again. I think it was Larry Bunning one time, he said he was praying to be patient. We're like, don't pray that. Because God will take you through these laborious, hard lessons to force you to learn to be patient.
That's a heck of a view of God. I don't know about that.
But being patient is something that, it's a hard lesson to learn.
So what is the acronym, Mark?
Oh, that halt?
Yeah.
Well, I know you said stop, and then each of those letters are important things for us to be mindful of. Diane, or should we call you Beth?
Oh,
Diane's wearing she's the Beth Moore look-alike today.
She went to the hairdresser and got a beautiful haircut. And you're going to embarrass her. She's not going to read.
I like Beth Moore. Beth Moore's special. She's a good teacher.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
That's a compliment.
Nothing's off the air when we start talking, right? Oh, thank you for being here. And a little of our pre-conversation was on patience and just that we should halt. We should, as I was reading recently, if we're hungry, if we're angry, if we're lonely, or if we're tired, any of those things, we need to step back, and oftentimes we're one of those, if maybe not all four, but we're one of them, right?
I think it's a great thing.
So to be mindful when we're hungry.
Well, if you're about to like say something angrily or you're about to do something rash, ask yourself, Am I
hungry? What's the A for?
Angry.
Angry, hungry, angry.
Lonely.
Lonely or tired. Also, probably not good times to
if
be
so,
communicating.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. Step back.
Step back.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is.
And being patient. And you kind of said, I could give a testimony about that, the hardship of being patient. Oh, well, all of us could.
Yeah, we could.
It's hard to be patient, especially when maybe we're driven or we're high capacity and we want to move forward.
We want something to happen.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got pneumonia that time I prayed for patience.
I just remember one
time slow you down.
When Larry Bunning was praying that, and we all, like Jason Schiffo and I, Pastor Schiffo and others, were like, don't pray for that. Things will get tough, you know.
You're supposed to be encouraging people to wait on the Lord and all this. Here you are talking about, don't pray that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But women saving the day, I like that conversation. I love that story.
Yeah.
It's about David and the woman that God uses to
Abigail.
Save. And she became one of his future wives, right?
Yeah, that's right.
She did.
Right. For Samuel 25, we were talking about.
I love that when people know this actual scripture numbers.
Hey, are you on our scripture memory team? Because look, she's already citing references. Memorization Monday, we're going to get you signed up. But Abigail, how she was used of the Lord, a quality, faithful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the Bible refers to her as not the word sharp, but intelligent.
She
was wise. Maybe it was wise. There was different ways, but she was used of God to save a lot of people.
She did.
Want to give a summary on that story? Because I think it'll pique some people's interest, because it's a fascinating story that's recounted for us to learn something from, many things from.
It is. Also, I just like the part, as I was reading from 1 Samuel 24, where David, and right before what happens with Saul, where he could have cut off the, he does cut off the corner of his robe, mm-hmm. and yet, because he's the anointed, he won't touch him. And yet, then, when we go into 25, I'm sorry, this is not a Bible lesson, but
please continue.
I just have been really wrapped up in this, I guess. So, as David and his men are out in the fields, and they need some supplies because their herds had been taken care of, and it was very common that they would get some help and be reciprocated for that, and sends his men to talk to Nabal and request for whatever he might have, because this is a day of feasting, and knew that there were, certainly Nabal had an abundant amount. Anyway, it was pretty much protocol that he would, but Nabal says, no, absolutely not, and who are you to ask me? But Abigail saddles up, and when she finds out, she heads up, because David's going to get all his men. Actually, I guess 600 out of 600 men. He's going to take 400 with him, and the other 200 are going to stay back with supplies and ready to settle up. But she brings calmness and peace to the situation.
She was smart.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she was wise.
Deterred the whole
wise.
Yeah,
the whole
David
war.
David was ready to slaughter them all.
Well, he'd
it
been
says
protecting
later on.
This man's herds.
Yeah.
Timing's everything.
And Abel, I think, listed like greedy and selfish and self-centered and like a terrible husband.
Fool.
A fool. Yeah, I think he's referred to as a fool.
I think it does say that.
A great, not just a fool, like a great fool.
Really?
It's emphasized how foolish he acted. Uh-huh. And so, but God uses Abigail to not only, and David later on refers to her, you know, because of you or your faithfulness or whatever, I was going to slaughter everyone. You know, she bridged the gap.
She
was
him.
Wise. And then, he dies of a heart attack or something?
Something like that,
he sees everything that's going on, and then he was saved of, he dies, and then...
He hears what she did, and how his whole area almost was attacked, and he was almost destroyed, and he dies of a heart attack, I think.
And then she becomes
the wife of David.
Faithful wife of David.
Eventually,
So
what did you write down? Women save the day.
Yeah, women save the day.
Hey, I like that.
I knew you liked it when she said it the first time.
You're right, I did.
I'll just bring that up. So... Diane, we've had you in here before. We appreciated stories of the past and the fact that you made the front cover. Now, that was a decision by Marianne and Kelly, I think. You both came to terms with, this is a great article. This will fit with our whole theme. Every season has something to teach us. Winter and our Valentine's theme. It's kind of a nice picture. If you go by any stands, you'll see this kind of purple. I don't know. You women,
beautiful.
What are these colors? Us men, we can't determine.
Magenta.
Magenta, is that?
I'm not going to go there. You men can't determine colors.
Well, you know, we can say black, white, green, red.
Please.
But when there's these variations, many of us are like, what color is this? I would have said purple.
Picasso, Van Gogh, Renoir. I think men can know color, but anyway, that's fine.
Yeah. All right, so what was the catalyst behind the idea of the story?
You know, I've written some other ones on other seasons, and I should ask you, is winter your favorite season? maybe not so much.
Could you write an article about winter? I know. It was a hard task for you. You did awesome.
I thought this was going to be the stretch, but summer was easiest, I would admit. And lately we've had so many times, as I've referenced a few things in here about silence and quiet and a time to reflect. Mm-hmm. And we've had with our winter, we've had some days, haven't we? We've had time to reflect.
A little reflect. Kind of get scared a little.
Yeah, that polar
vortex.
Oh, yeah. And I wrote that before this. So
I know.
That's funny.
I know.
Well, some had wondered whether there'll be a number of newborns come, 9 months from now.
Oh,
all
funny.
The people that were staying home. And,
oh, that's
that
great.
Does happen at
that's
times.
Funny.
So.
That's great. Oh, I can't wait for you to read this, Diane. I love this.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, if your ears were ringing yesterday, Marianne was saying, Diane is such a gifted writer. I don't even think she knows how gifted she is. Those are pretty much
that's verbatim almost.
Yep.
I say that to everybody.
No pressure, Diane, but we do appreciate it.
I don't mean I say that to everybody. I mean, I say that about Diane. And to everybody.
Yes.
That's different.
Thanks for the clarification, because I would know. And, winter. Every season has something to teach us. Winter, the season with two faces, the good side or the bad and ugly side. Don't we delight in comparing and contrasting Midwest winters? One thing we can all agree on is that Mother Nature is in control and can sway us from one side to the other, even if it's just for a few moments. Winter, perhaps more than any other season, has some lessons for us.
Amen.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Where did you live in January 1963? After a big Sunday dinner finished off by homemade angel food cake with custard filling, my family and I left my aunt and uncle's farmhouse in Champaign County. Our farm was only a 15-minute drive through the country. However, the sky was dumping snow with rapid-fire speed as my dad bucked the snowdrifts. Stuck. Still in his church suit, Dad turned up the collar of his dress coat and got the heavy scoop shovel out of the trunk of the car. He heaved shovelful after shovelful of wet snow. Mother Nature was clearly in charge and winning. Dad slumped back in the driver's seat, shaking with dripping nose and snow-caked eyebrows. "I need something on my head," he said, pointing to my brother's hat. Wearing the undersized Cousin Eddie hat, my dad, with strong farmer arms, hurled the weighty snow. After what seemed like hours, he finally pushed us out and jumped in the car. Dad shifted in reverse and backed us down the road. And for the next 6 days, we stayed at my aunt and uncle's, snowbound. My dad lived another 53 years, but I still can see him fighting the elements for his family. My husband, who grew up in South Dakota, learned a few lessons from his own winter weather war stories. He often throws warm and heavy snow gear into the back seat in case I have to walk. Have you ever spoken those words? Soup's on.
Now, do you see this theme, Marianne? I'm surprised you didn't jump in earlier when she talked about the homemade angel food cake with custard filling. You know how we always like to talk about food. And then that, oh, the weather outside is frightful. I was ready to go into our chorus and sing. Soup's on. Now, I'm getting hungry.
Well, what's your favorite soup, Mark?
The soup in front of me.
The soup of the day, right?
That's great.
Well, what's your favorite soup? Chicken and noodle? Beef vegetable or chili, tomato bisque. Do you or a family member make it? A local restaurant? Is it a family recipe filled with memories or even emotion? My mom was a soup giver. She made some for family and some to give away to a relative, friend, or neighbor in a quart mason jar. When my son was a preschooler, he asked me to get Grandma's recipe for soup. Recipe? I made my beef vegetable soup just like Grandma's. However, mine lacked homemade canned tomatoes and green beans and farm-raised beef packed in white locker paper. Recently, my daughter, who lives 3 hours away, was on the verge of getting sick. I couldn't run homemade chicken and noodle over to her, but I could order and pay for it online and have it delivered to her. Sometimes we give gifts that are wants, fun and frivolous. Sometimes we give gifts because there's a need. A few years back, I came home from weeks at a hospital bedside to find chicken tortilla soup on the bench at my front door. My friend knew just what I needed. I learned to never underestimate the healing power of a bowl of well-timed soup. The stacks. Bookcases, boxes, basement shelves, the office, an end table by a chair. Books and more books. Of all the obsessions I could choose, I chose books. Or rather, they chose me. My husband, too, has been bitten by the book bug. Yes, we've donated and gifted, loaned, and lost books. The main library on the University of Illinois campus is known as the Stacks. 5 million plus books. That's 5000000. Wow. Several years ago, I was at an event where writers and bookstore retailers could pay the admittance fee and meet and greet authors to receive their latest book. With 120 plus books in tow, I lugged my game back to my hotel room and then to my home, where many of them still reside. Sure, we could read e-books on our iPads, but we'd miss the whole experience. Hot coffee, fire in the fireplace, instrumental music, a book or two, pen and highlighter, touching, turning pages. Maybe my book fever began in elementary school. My favorite days were when my teacher handed out the Scholastic book order forms. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you? Okay. I read and reread the book descriptions and picked out the paperbacks I wanted. Most of the time, I convinced my mom to order them. Was one of your New Year's resolutions to increase your knowledge about a topic or two? Endless books will help jumpstart you. What's the last book you read?
You know what? That brings me to see a little. It's like a commercial break now. I'm holding my hand.
Article,
a youth literature festival that's coming to the University of Illinois March 28th
famous
through 30th.
Authors.
And it's famous authors, I think about 15 or 20
something like that.
From around the country, maybe even parts of the world. And they're going to read some of their books. And it's for children. It's a free day at the University of Illinois on March 30th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be at the iHotel. I'm looking at the literature. In fact, we're still trying to work out whether the Great News Radio Children's Choir might sing a few songs to the children, and we're working out that. In fact, she just emailed me today. I don't know if you got that email.
Yeah.
youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu. youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu. Sorry, it's kind of a long one, but it's a free event to the public, so not just for children, and it includes author readings, presentations, book signings, music, art, puppetry, and a variety of hands-on activities and live entertainment.
Pretty great.
So, anyways, lest I digress more, but it sounds like this might be something that you and Gary would like to go to and be a part of.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, finally, wondrous winter sky. Just the words can conjure the splendor of a western winter sky at dusk. Aren't stars brighter and sunsets better in the winter? Gray and blackish clouds with a pink horizontal haze. Whew. The sight can take your breath away. Feelings of grandeur and of one smallness merge. How do we sense both emptiness and full hearts in the vastness of the dark? Sometimes I pull over and park for a moment, or pause to look out the window over the kitchen sink and take it all in. I don't want to forget the view or the accompanying emotion. When was the last time you saw a glorious winter sky? What was your takeaway? Winter teaches us there's beauty in the stark and the simple, the unexpected, if we wait. Winter's the season to slow down, to let our souls listen and soak in the beauty of the silence. And if no amount of encouragement can bring you to embrace winter, remember, February only has 28 days, and spring is a-coming.
Spring is a-coming. Diane Bowler is a teacher and author. She and her husband have lived in Champaign for over 30 years. She loves reading, writing, and listening to others' stories. You can reach Diane at Diane, D-I-A-N-E, Bowler, B-U-L-L-E-R, at sbcglobal.net. One of our wonderful content contributors. And, you know, I'm getting to like winter a little more. I'm kind of one of those that can't wait for it to warm up, but you're beginning the soups on and the food and cuddling and getting, you know, warm inside.
Grand sunsets.
Reading books with the Stacks. And then, yeah, I appreciate the skies. It's so clear and you can see the stars. And when the snow is all out and it's just nice, crisp morning.
And we have that that front page picture we chose that just goes with that sunset you mentioned. Those bright streaks.
I thought of that.
Now, I got to tell you this. Rob and I talk back and forth about these articles, and sometimes we talk with Ruth and Karen and so forth, but we talk back and forth, and we always say this. You paint. You have an ability in your writing to paint the greatest sense of emotions and pictures. We love it. We love
now,
it.
Now, I saw you underline or highlight
section.
What was that?
I love this sentence. How do we sense both emptiness and full hearts in the vastness of the dark? That's good writing, Diane.
All right, Gary, take her out for dinner. Valentine's Day is coming up. How many more days do we have?
Oh, I had that memorized for Tuesday's show. It was 10, 9. You got 8, Mark. Get on it.
8 days. Come on, man. Come on, Gary. Get on board. All right. Well, thank you, Diane. Diane Bowler, one of our content contributors in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the February edition, which incidentally not only can be picked up at over 200 area locations, probably about 220, 230 now, but can be read online at primelifetimes.com. Primelifetimes.com. It's the front cover story, along with a great one by Cindy Guthrie. That younger generation.
That is a really good article.
All right. Well, thank you, Diane, for coming. Thanks for putting up with us. I know we kidded around, but you're a blessing to us and to our community. Thank you, God, for Gary and you and your marriage. Sometimes we'll get Gary in here and share a little of that love story and how you patiently waited for each other and it all worked out, right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to close out with a song dedicated to you and Gary, sung by David and Charlene Adams, titled You Are My Complete. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Here before me now, I can't